We are back with Ron Armstrong from the Unlock Michigan People, and the rotation will begin with Chad Livengood.
Ron, just to be clear from the earlier segment, the Secretary of State's Elections Director has said in a July affidavit that they could count and verify signatures in 60 days before an election. The Secretary of State has said she needs 105 days because it's going through not just any election, probably the biggest general election in state history, with a whole lot of complicating factors that essentially the Bureau of Elections is going to be tied up, and they won't have a lot of time into probably mid-November. Do you buy that argument that that they are just going to be naturally consumed by all that's going on in the electoral process right now?
No, I don't, because I think that, number one, we don't know exactly how long this election will take, right? We could have complications and we may not. We don't have those answers to, so the arbitrary number of 105, again, takes us to a date in January, which we believe is ridiculous. Again, as you know the process, they begin sampling certain numbers of ballots looking for accuracy, and we have incredible accuracy. They also can look at the sheer numbers, 340,000 needed, 539,000 that they have on hand. It should not take very long to be able to verify that we have adequate number of signatures. Remember, that's their only obligation in this particular case. Then it goes to the legislature. So we believe they're dragging their feet no matter what. It will not take that many people. We believe we can find people. If they need to hire some extras, we could find some people that would be willing to help run through those and do some verification process. But we know the accuracy. We know that this is done. And we know that it would, if it's delayed, it would be delayed for political reasons, period.
So if you follow the numbers, beginning when the governor started to put in place some of the executive orders that you disagree with, we did see that we so-called flattened the curve, right? That we can all agree that the number of coronavirus cases began to go down. That meant hospitals weren't going to be overwhelmed. Nurses, doctors were able to take better care of patients who were in intensive care. Now we are starting to see the state opening back up in many respects. And we are also starting to see what looks like it could be yet another peak. So I'm wondering if you can at least agree that the data show that when you do close down or put certain restrictions on citizens in the state, it does appear, the data show, that the number of coronavirus cases goes down.
I don't agree. I believe that in the beginning, you are exactly correct. Number one, we didn't know what we were facing or dealing with, and everyone agreed with the shutdown, even the legislature. They agreed with an extension of the shutdown. But if you listen to the governor's original emergency orders, it was to be able to take care of the healthcare system. It was to have enough adequate beds, enough adequate hospital staff, the ability to take care of patients, PPEs, ventilators, all of those things. But by the time we got into late April and early May, that curve had already been flattened. We were never going to stop the virus from moving through. We also found that it wasn't going to be anywhere near as deadly as we thought it might be, thank God. As we moved through May and June, as you know, we didn't begin opening up or cracking open. But the cases were incredibly low. And when you started seeing the cases go up, it's because, again, as Chad mentioned, we ended up testing a lot more people. You know as well as I do that a lot of these cases are asymptomatic, people that are being now identified because we're testing tens of thousands, as you know, maybe 40,000 people a day or more. And when you test that many people, you're going to get more cases. My answer to the people out there is don't lower the fear some. I'm not saying it's not dangerous for some with underlying health conditions and like that. However, what we're finding, as you know, is that a lot of these people are not getting sick. My question is, where are we at when it comes to the hospitalizations? We have added beds. We've added capability and capacity. We are not overwhelming the healthcare system in any way. And this virus is going to have to go through our society. Those states that have remained open also went through peaks, and we hammered them because they didn't lock down. But as you know, those numbers began to come down regularly as well. But they went up as they tested more. Again, I believe that in Michigan, we're going to be able to do both. We can go back and look what the WHO is saying. Look what even the CDC is saying. We believe as we test more people, we're going to get more cases. It doesn't mean we're going to get more deaths. It means that we are going to basically run this through our society, and we have to do things safely. And I think businesses and individuals are already attuned to being able to do that. Wear masks where appropriate, social distancing, and so on. But I do believe that that these increase in cases, first of all, we're heading towards an election. We're running towards all of these big numbers. These numbers will come down as quickly as they went up. I'm confident of that, especially when it comes to
people. Rick, I know that we're sharing questions and Rick is going next, but I can't be a journalist and sit here. There is at least five or six things you just said in that answer that are just purely untrue. But I know it's not my turn next. So go ahead, Rick. I just feel like I have to say that. So.
Well, I guess that's where I was going to go. We know that that more testing yields more accurate results. And so just square that, please.
Excuse me?
Well, I guess
it's more cases. I agree with you, more cases, but there are more cases, more sick people. They're not sick people. There are people who are getting a virus and getting over a virus in most cases. 99.97% of the people that get the virus are not dying from this virus.
But there are people who are still infectious, that they can pass along the infection. That's why the mask requirement is so critical, that it's not so much to protect ourselves, it's to make sure that the virus is not spread.
And so the 85% of the people that say they wore a mask all the time or most of the time that got the virus in July, we all know the masks are not stopping the virus. We know that they help in certain areas and in certain situations, but the whole pathology thing is changing, and we believe in people wearing masks, and especially in those situations or those individuals that have other issues and underlying health conditions. But we're seeing the states that are completely open. What is going on there? We're not reporting that because they're doing pretty well, actually.
That's not true.
Wisconsin has been really completely open since July, fully open. And Wisconsin is building field hospitals and recording more than 2,000 cases a day right now. And the hospitalizations, mm-hmm. as of Tuesday this week, from the previous Tuesday, the number of people showing up in Michigan ERs with symptoms of COVID and then getting sent home to recover because they were not sick enough to be hospitalized, that increased 45% in 1 week across all hospitals in Michigan. Hospitalizations in overall have doubled in 2 weeks and they're on the rise. Particularly outstate now, there are more people hospitalized outstate than in Southeast Michigan. So the dynamics are changing rapidly. How did we get to, you admitted earlier that we flattened the curve. We are down to 150 cases a day statewide in middle of June. But a lot of businesses were still not opened, or a lot of people weren't traveling, or they weren't in school, or they weren't in colleges. Don't you acknowledge that those activities are spreading this virus and causing an uptick in cases and deaths right now?
I don't believe that the percentages are the percentages from the beginning, as far as what the death rate or infectious rate is. Those are nationwide numbers, and I believe that yes, indeed, as we were shut down and we weren't testing as many back then, obviously in June, how many people were getting it and not being even identified as having it or asymptomatic. We all know that many of the people that had begun being tested, that were working in restaurants when they reopened, young people, people as they went back to school, those test results ended up being a lot of positive results. But as you know, if you look over universities, Texas did a study of the millions of kids, 1,049,000, I think it was, kids back to school in the last 6 weeks. And they have seen literally an 0.14 percent infectious rate, and actually for the staff it's 0.10. They have not seen it as they've gone back, and they are not wearing masks or required to all the time. So there are a lot of statistics. I believe that right now, because we are going back to school and a more regular life, we are going to see an increase in cases. There is no doubt about that. But it's because we're not going to eliminate the virus. You can delay it from spreading, but it isn't going to go away simply by staying home. And we cannot destroy our economy, and we cannot hold down individual rights and liberties even during a pandemic. I'm sorry, it's what the courts have said too. They have to work their way forward together. And we are here to fight for all individuals. And we're saying we believe in the citizens, that they will do the right thing going back, but they have to be able to live their lives. And we have to be able to open their businesses at a normal capacity where they can operate. We're not even talking about mental health crisis. And we can have this conversation another year or two down the road, but I promise you, the outlying area and what has happened in other medical conditions that we're not being able to be treated during this time is going to be way over the number of deaths that have been recorded because of this, especially when we eliminate the nursing home deaths, where we put positive COVID patients in there. And we don't seem to ever want to talk about that, but it is about a third of the deaths that have happened in Michigan. And obviously, if you put positive COVID patients in with healthy patients, it's going to happen.
Ms. Clark, go ahead and take the table. Go ahead, Zoe.
What I'm hearing you say is similar to what the Senate Majority Leader said earlier this week, which is it's a pandemic, but we can't save that many lives. We have to live with risk. What number of deaths are you okay with? I mean, you said 99% of people. I mean, right now, thousands of Michiganders have passed because of this. And it seems to me that as a religious man, you're sort of saying, well, there's going to be deaths because it's a pandemic. Is that...
No, there's going to be deaths because we live. As a Christian man, we all have a risk every time we walk out our house. And the actual numbers are right now that you probably, as a young person under the age of certainly 40 or 50, have probably a better chance of getting in a car accident and dying than you do dying from the COVID virus. But we still drive. We take risks every day. And I believe that this audience out there, and I believe that the majority of the people in this country realize that they can protect themselves and those around them and still be able to live their lives in a way that they can survive. They can go to work. They can open their business to a capacity in which that they can take care of their family. There are other issues that we're not talking about, which again are the non-cancer screenings. All of the things that have happened with people's not getting the heart, the fear, and people haven't gone to the hospital to get or were turned away. Those were
because
deaths.
We're in the middle of a pandemic.
I don't necessarily know that we're in a pandemic anymore. I honestly don't. I think the CDC is changing their regulations and rules, and I believe that in the end, we're going to find that indeed we did what we needed to do to flatten the curve. We did where we're never going to eliminate the virus going through, and we're seeing it everywhere. And it isn't a second wave. This is a continuation. And yes, as we begin to open back up, you're going to see more cases. But understand, more cases are because we're testing more, and they are not necessarily sick. And we say visiting the hospital, are those hospitalized, meaning check into the hospital? Or are these people saying, I need to go to the hospital because I'm not feeling well, and it might be COVID, and they have a lot of fear. But they go home with almost no treatment, no drugs whatsoever, and they get over it in a matter of 3 to 4 days to a week for the majority of people. For those that are underlying health conditions, they should remain and home. And obviously, one death is too many, but we are going to run into, issues in life.
What does that mean, one death is too many? That's not at all, though, what you're advocating for.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I'm saying we have to go through our lives, and each individual does choose the risk level they take. If I go skydiving, I have a better chance of dying. If I go out maybe without a mask and go into a group of people, then maybe I have a better chance of getting COVID. But I also know that I have a 99.96% chance of surviving if I get it. Is that worth it? Do you know how many people that we talk to who have been locked in nursing homes for the last 6 months, not able to see their family members? And they said, I would rather have a chance and risk getting this virus than I would the isolation that I've been experiencing. Those feelings are real, true, also.
Agreed. And we have to fight for every individual. Pandemics are horrible things. Pandemics are absolutely horrible things with awful consequences.
So is isolation. So is isolation. And so are businesses that are three-generation businesses that are closed forever because they were forced to shut down entirely for not just a few weeks, which everybody understood, but for months and months and months. And the rest of the country, the majority of the rest of the country, did not do that.
Mr. Armstrong, we have to put a cap on this, but let me have a final question for you, sir. This has become a political issue, COVID. Could you assess how Mr. Trump has done on dealing with this situation? Has he done all the right things, you think, in your mind?
I think he brought in a lot of experts, and I think that the task force has did a tremendous job. Obviously, the people that are there now and from Dr. Fauci, and you know that they continually change. In the very beginning, if you played this, what would you have done if you had me on and Dr. Fauci was saying, there is absolutely no benefit in wearing a mask. Do not wear a mask if you're a healthy person. And now we hear that we need to wear a mask, and if we don't, we're endangering others around us. Nothing really changed from that fact. And then we go, well, it's because we didn't know if we had enough masks. I don't buy that for a minute. I do believe politically things have changed. I think that what's happened is everyone did not know what we were dealing with in the beginning. We were talking about maybe 2 million deaths here. The percentages could have been outrageous of what might have happened. And we found that we are controlling it. We're also going to have treatments that are very effective very soon. And those are not political issues. Those are facts. Those are pharmaceutical companies. I think we'll have a vaccine option very soon too. They should go immediately to the most vulnerable and then work their way down as we work into next year. I believe that again, we have to look at personal freedoms and constitutional rights, even in a time of a pandemic. And the bulk of America, I believe, agrees that there is a balance there. And you cannot, for any particular reason, decide to take those freedoms away.
Mr. Armstrong, thank you for joining us on our program today. Let's see what happens on the count. By the way, are you thinking about going to court to get the Secretary of State to count the names sooner?
If indeed we get we've sent a letter to her, Unlock did, and she's supposed to be providing a response to that as to what her plans are. Now that the law has been considered unconstitutional in its entirety, it should make her job a lot easier and quicker. So we believe that we're still going to go down that path. But yes, indeed, we would be filing if indeed she does not agree to get this done in a timely manner.
So you will file a court suit if she doesn't get it done according to your schedule that you think she could do it. Is that correct, sir?
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, sir. It's good seeing you. Stay safe.
Great seeing you, Tim. I appreciate all of you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Also, our thanks to Zoe and Rick and to Chad. See you next week right here on Off the Record.